Well, we'd sure like the Lord to feed us today. I believe He wants to. I believe He's given me some things for us, if the Lord will just bless it. I've been meditating and seeking the Lord. I think about a scripture in Luke, the 10th chapter, and the 38th verse that we want to start with. We wrote on the board, eternal investments. You know, we live in a world today that thinks a lot about investments. In fact, it's just the buzzword everywhere, isn't it? All over, investments, investments, prepare for the future. We believe that the Lord wants us to be wise and to do things in a way that would prepare for our future somewhat. I believe the Lord would like that. But you know what He really wants is He wants us to prepare for the future. And in Luke, the 10th chapter, starting at 38, it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.'" You know, this seems like an ordinary picture, doesn't it? "Lord, I'm doing all the work here. Can you tell my sister to come and help me? She's sitting here listening to you." You know, the Lord's thoughts are so different than ours so many times. It only seems natural. I mean, they were going to have to eat, and Mary was doing all the work, and Martha was sitting at Jesus' feet. And what's wrong with Mary helping? There's a lot of things in life that seem so natural to us, and they seem so human and so right. And sometimes the Lord is just thinking completely different than we are. I hope this morning, I just have to trust God that maybe He will help us get a little more vision this morning into another picture of His mind. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." You know, Jesus had a view of eternal things that these folks just couldn't have yet. They just didn't understand it. But He told Martha, He said, you're careful, you're just anxious, you're all uptight, and you're troubled about a lot of things. But there's one thing that's really needful, and Mary's chosen that part, and which shall not be taken away from her. Do you know there's some things that we can choose in our life that will not be taken away from us? It'll never be taken from us. It's eternal in value. And what Mary was doing was she was sitting before the feet of Jesus and listening to His words. Now, I don't think the Lord wants us to be sloths by any chance, but I don't think Mary was being a sloth. Mary was diligently pursuing something that was of much greater value than what Martha was pursuing. And the Lord hit right at the very base of it. "Martha, you're just all uptight about a lot of things, but I want to tell you something. There's something a lot more needful than that. And Mary has found that part." Do you know, this morning, I really believe the Lord would like for us to see those kind of things, see life in a way that we don't see it many times. Folks, there is coming a forever that's never going to quit. Now, whether we're in heaven or whether we're in a burning hell, forever. There is a forever, and that's the only two places there is. Do you know the Lord wants us to invest our lives in something that is eternal? Do you know that beyond just knowing those things, there are investments in this life that we can put our lives into? I was listening this morning to the Sunday school, and Sister Marcia was telling us about Brother Warner and the company that was with him that traveled around for about 4 years, and how there was congregations established in nine states, I believe, during that time. One of them was Wichita, Kansas, as I understood. Webb City, did you say? And Carthage, Missouri. You know, places that we know those names. Many of these places, there are still congregations in that area. Do you know this morning, there are things that are worth more value than all that we know is valuable. What Martha was doing was valuable. She was providing food. And yet, there was something she was missing out on. And you know, many times we see our families, we see our needs, we see the future, and we become zeroed in on that. And the Lord would like to tell us, you're zeroed in on the wrong thing if you're zeroed in on that. Because what you really need to be focused on is eternal value and things of eternal value. We studied last Sunday morning about prayer, about that sweet vials of odors that come up before the Lord. And we studied about how the Lord loves that, the smell of that comes up before Him. We studied about Simeon and about Anna that had made eternal investments. And there was a woman of great age, and what was she doing? Now, I know, as we said last Sunday, not all of us can go and pray and fast all the time. We have life to live too. But folks, there's another aspect of this that we must not put on the back burner. And Anna, it was front and center for her. She was fasting and praying before the Lord. And the Lord loved that. And He came, and the Lord passed by a little baby. Here He passed by her, and nobody else knew. Nobody else knew except Simeon and her who this was, and Mary and Joseph. They didn't know what was happening before them, but the Lord revealed it to these ones that had invested eternally. The Lord help us this morning to get a picture, folks. Some of these people didn't invest much here. Now, I know that that's smart. I know that's good. And yet, folks, it's not the epitome of doing it right. You know what? A lot of these folks that did this, Jesus didn't have as much as a pillow to lay His head on. He had nothing. There's a lot of folks that invested their life, their days, their time, their money, their energy in something that is more valuable than what will bring returns today. And as I say, I know that we don't want to neglect our families, and we don't, folks. We don't neglect our families. That's evident. But you know what? If we neglect anything, it might be that good part that cannot be taken away. Oh, how the Lord wants us to zero in on that, as we would on our investments, as we would to make sure that life is taken care of. Zero in on the Lord's things. You know, He has some investments He wants us to make, and they matter, and they matter a lot. And what He told Martha here is very valuable to us. What we saw with Anna and with Simeon. And, you know, we thought about Elijah. We spoke of Elijah last week, didn't we? You know, the Scripture says the earnest, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, doesn't it? It does. Do you know a whole nation was affected by a godly man named Elijah that had it right? He had his investments in the right place. He had his heart in the right place, his life in the right place, and God was able to use that man. Is there some folks here this morning, and I know there is, but is there some this morning that would like to see a greater vision than the things around them? Here the Lord puts us down in this world, and it's full of stuff and work and play and pleasures and profits and all kinds of things. And we enjoy those things, don't we? Is there any of it that we don't enjoy? And yet, it's supposed to be the thing that helps us take care of the real things, not the thing itself. That's a sham when we just take care of that. And so this morning, I just want to challenge us, because I feel like the Lord gave me these thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, we all know that's in Isaiah 55, isn't it? So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so I want to think a little bit as we start looking at some other scriptures this morning. Just let it sink down in our hearts. Lord, what are your thoughts this morning? I know this life is like little bitty, because here's eternity out there that goes on, and we've got this little tiny bit of space here. Help me to see it in that respect this morning. Luke 12:33. Now, this sounds like it's coming from somebody that is a little extreme, doesn't it? Listen to what this says. Sell that you have and give alms. You know what alms are? They're gifts to the poor. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. I don't think the Lord's telling us to sell everything we have and become vagabonds. I know some people that they won't own anything. They travel around and they live on what other people have, actually. I don't think that's really God's mind. But you know what? Neither does He want us to have our life all invested, and then we miss the part that God really wants. And He says, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves liken to men that wait for their Lord, when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. You know what this morning? This comes by choice. It's not just for some that were born with a good heart, because I don't know any of those kind. But this comes by choice. We see people that's written about in the Bible, that's given to us as examples. We see Moses, one that was raised in luxury. He had everything, and yet he chose to rather to suffer affliction, the scripture says, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Do you know this morning, we can't choose this for you. No one can. But I want to tell you this morning, there are choices that we can make that are worthwhile. An eternal treasure in the heavens. Can you think outside the box of humanity today and think a little deeper into the spiritual things that the Lord wants to tell us today? I have a treasure for you. And I want you to invest your life in something besides the things that are here. The pleasures, the money, the riches, the play, all the stuff, all of those things that come with life. Invest your life in the things God's interested in. What do you think that would be? What is going from here to there? What's the only thing eternal here? Is our bodies going to be eternal? Are the things we own going to be eternal? Our soul is eternal. It's a worthy investment to invest our lives in the lives of other souls and other people this morning. And I just want us to think a little of that. Proverbs 19 and 17, we're going to just cover a few little things here this morning, just some things the Lord gave me, and then I plan to sit down, however long that takes. But I'm thinking about Proverbs 19 and 17. Listen to this. He that hath pity, I'm just reading, I believe, part of the Lord's burden. You find this all through the scriptures. Very rich part of the scripture. It says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given will he pay him again. Do you know this morning the Lord wants us to have eyes to see the poor? That comes by choice too. Investing in the Lord's work. Investing in his thoughts. Do you know this is part of the Lord's work? Investing in people that are poor. Do you know God gives to us many times with the idea that we do his will with it? And I just want us to think about these things. All of us are in this same life, folks. We have good jobs, many of us here do. And you know, this morning, the Lord wants us to see things in a broader picture than just ourself and the things that we have. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. I will tell you what I believe. When you lend to the poor, and we broaden our life to begin to include other people, what it does is many times it draws something from us to them that draws them closer to the Lord. And they can begin to see the Lord themselves, or their children can. And so this is part of what God is wanting us to invest in. Just a little piece. I'm giving you this because I feel like God gave this to me this morning. So pray for us. I'm thinking about Psalms 41 and 1. Now, we're not talking about not investing. We're not talking about not doing anything in this life. But, folks, we want to have priorities right, don't we? We want to seek the Lord for that because our thoughts are so different than God's thoughts without God realigning us. There's a lot of things that need to be done that don't include pay this morning, not dollars and cents. Do you know when we invest in those things, we're investing in the Lord's work. We're investing in His things. And I believe that when the Lord pays, He don't pay dollars and cents. He pays a lot better than that. He pays a lot better than that. I found it to be so. He'll pay in ways that will bless your life and your children's lives and those around you eternally when you invest in that. This morning, I want to urge us today to just throw our hands open to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to invest my life in your ways and in your thoughts, in your things today. I want to see it the way you see it. Now listen to this, Psalms 41 and 1 to 3. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Oh, that's pay, isn't it? It's directly related here. I'm not saying it. This is what the scripture says. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him until the will of his enemies. What promises today that the Lord will do for us? The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. You know what the bed of languishing is? We've seen it, haven't we? When people get down to the end of the way and they're suffering, their strength is no more. Whatever they have is no more. And they're in that place. Total dependence on others and God. Whatever God gives them, that's all they've got. And he said, I'm going to strengthen you in that day. There's been people that that prayer has been prayed. There's been people that that prayer couldn't be prayed because they didn't have any mercy in those things. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. You know, there's some real heroes of faith that we have that we all know of and we've read about. And I want to read just a little about one of them this morning. You think about Job. Now, Job wasn't a poor man, folks. He had a lot. It says there was a man in the land of Uz, this is Job 1:1, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And God himself, later down in the chapter, he speaks for Job himself, that he has a perfect, he's perfect before him. I know Job had his little faults and things, but I'll tell you what, Job had a heart to only do what God wanted him to do. That's all. And God had so blessed him that he was a very rich man. But I want to read, God had blessed him. That hadn't been the thrust of his life completely. In verse 5, it says, and it was so... I'm sorry, I'm going to move over to 31 in verse 5. Job 31. Now Job got in trouble, and he got onto a bed of languishing, and he got in a bad situation for some long while. And Job had something that he had invested in at this time, and it was worth more than all the other stuff because all the other stuff took off on him. All of his camels took off. All of his sons, his daughter, everything, all that stuff was gone. All the good things of life. He had children. All the good things of life. He had riches. He had animals. He had wealth. And yet, in a moment, in a day, it just disappeared on him. Don't we know that can happen this morning? But there's some things Job had that didn't disappear. And I want to read a little about those. This is Job 31:5 again. If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands. And then he goes on. This testimony that Job had could not be taken from him. He had something of eternal value, didn't he? He knew before God that his heart and life was clear before God. Do you know this morning, we can know that our heart is clear before God. We don't have to live a life that when we come to this place, I don't know how his wife lived, but I know when she got to this place just alongside of Job, she was just, curse God and die, Job. I mean, how much more of this are you going to take? But Job had something way more than that. Job, though he had all these riches, Job had invested heavily in God and in his will. You know, you see in the first chapter how he offered sacrifices for his children. He feared God. That was foremost in his mind. He wanted God to be pleased in his life. If you drop on down now in the 16th verse, it says, and now, well, let's see, 31 and 16. If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail. Now, this was Job's life. He said, if I've done this, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless hath not eaten thereof. And I want to ask us this morning, God help us today to enlarge our vision. When Job got down here to this day, he had some things that he knew. And this was one of them. I've done God's will. I have lived for, he knew his heart was clear. He knew he had not turned aside to vanity. He knew that he had not invested his life just in his riches. He had invested in other people, in the poor. And the scripture tells us when you give to the poor that you're lending to God. That's what you're doing. And he will repay, won't he, this morning. And so he says, or have eaten my morsel alone. Do we eat our morsel alone? Are we alone in our little thing of luxury and enjoyment? It's wrong if we are, I will tell you. I'm going to tell you by the word of the Lord. I believe the Lord wants us to include. He wants us to open our hearts and our lives. Lord, this is all yours, every bit of it. All I want to know is what you want me to do with it. Is that too hard to say? It might be. If it is, then maybe we need to ask the Lord to help us with that. Lord, I only want what you want me to do with all that I have. And I'm not talking to one or two, folks. We here have plenty. And we want to be there for those that don't. I'm just sharing what I feel like the Lord gave me this week. For from my youth, he was brought up with me as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, Job says, if I've ever seen this and not took care of it, if his loins have not blessed me or been blessed by me, I believe it would say, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade, and mine arm be broken from the bone. For destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not endure. Job was in a very close place here, but I will tell you what he had. He knew where he was at with the Lord. He said one place, Oh, that I could speak with him, he meant. Oh, that I could stand before him. You know what? I know in our righteousness we're not self-righteous. But folks, we can do the will of God. And we can know, I give it all to God. I've given him my best. And I believe when we get to these days, we're going to find God there when we do that this morning. Oh, I really believe also, I think we find a lot more than just help in our down times. You know, when you take God's ways and you open your life to him and you search for his thoughts instead of your thoughts, I will tell you, there is blessings upon blessings that cannot be measured with money. It cannot be, you know, do we give as unto the Lord? Lord, not measured, but Lord, here's my life. Would you take my life? I really want to give it to you, all of it. Do you know that when we do that, I really believe we're going to find a lot through life, because God's going to be that for us. We're going to have a book that we could write toward the end of our life that would be full of many things, many places where God met us, many times. And that is a choice that we make, folks. We're not talking about, oh, you can't do this and you can't do... We can do this. We can. We can give ourselves to God and find the many joys that come from doing that this morning. I want to look... I was thinking about Enoch. Somebody mentioned Enoch yesterday. Do you know that Enoch, it says, walked with God? I have to think that was a very pleasurable thing for Enoch. And then it says, the Lord just took him. He just took him. He got so close to God, the Lord just took him. Don't you think those kind of investments are worthwhile? I believe they are. I've been convinced of it. And that's why, for myself, for me and mine, I want to give that kind of sacrifice to the Lord. Let's look over in Matthew 6. and 28. A few other scriptures here. 28 to 33. Again, Jesus says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." Now, we know by the whole Word of God, the tenor of it, that Jesus expects us to think about things a little bit. He's talking about a little more than that. He's talking about anxious thought. He's talking about focusing on these kind of things. And folks, we're all the same. We're in this thing. We're in the middle of all these things, and we make choices every day. Shall I? Shall I not? What shall I? And then we say, "Oh, I'm going a little too far that way. I got to pull back. I can tell this is taken away from the things God wants me to do." Those are choices that we make. We don't just put a chip in our head and everything from that point on. We just learn it immediately. We learn. We search for God. We do His will. We try to discern, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" But we do that. We do that. And that's what the Lord wants us to do today, I believe. Now listen, I love this little passage of Scripture here. "And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory..." Why take ye thought for raiment? I'm sorry. "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." I looked those lilies up this morning. I thought, I'll just look at them. I want to see what they look like. And there's all kinds of colors and things like that. Beautiful lilies. A majestic flower. And yet, he says, Solomon, in all his glory, wasn't arrayed like one of these. And what he's telling us is, folks, if we'll let him have our life like that, we'll be beautiful too. Did you know that? If you look at that and think, "Oh, my life's coming to nothing if I do that," you got the wrong picture completely. It doesn't work that way. The Lord beautifies the meek with salvation, and He works in our lives. It's a life that is so full of many, many treasures and blessings. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Is He not going to take care of you? Is He not going to beautify you? Go take a look at the lilies. Get your encyclopedia out, or the internet, however you see it. Get on there and look at the lilies and look at the beauty of them and just think, and God has that in mind for each person. Does He? Sure He does. Can our faith take it in? Or shall we hold to those things that are of this life? Shall we hold to the joys? Shall we clutch them in our fist? Shall we hold to the money that we could have? Shall we hold to the investments of this life? Shall we put all of our energies into those things? Or shall we see, God wants to clothe me. Lord, would you clothe me? Would you, in your thoughts, take my life and beautify it? Would you use it some way? You mean to teach those little... You mean to do this little thing? You mean to work with that? You mean to help those poor people that... You mean my life... I'm too valuable for that. The devil will tell you that. What a horrible lie. What a horrible lie this morning. Oh, there is no greater thing than to give our lives to God. Lord, use my life and work with it, I pray. "Therefore, take no thought, saying..." Let's see here. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you know when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? He fills you with all the things you need. Plus, he gives you the riches of eternal value. He gives you the riches of faith, belief in God. Do you know not everybody believes in God? Not everybody has faith in God. But when you take God's way, he gives you faith. And you have rich faith. And you have those good things. You believe in God. You know where your connection is. You know what God can do. And when you get in trouble, like Job, you don't curse God and die. You suffer a while knowing, you know what? He's given me good. It's okay. He can give me some hardship. We've been there, haven't we? A lot of us have. But you know what? We find that in the end, he is of tender mercy and very pitiful. And he loves us, doesn't he? The Lord help us today to choose that good part. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Mary chose. She purposely, she probably felt the pressure from Martha. She probably wanted to help her, but the Lord's here. I've got to listen to him. Folks, Mary chose the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We ourselves are going to have to make it first if we want it to work. It's got to be first. We have to choose purposely. I'm going to choose that. And then it works when we choose the good part that shall not be taken away. I thought about another scripture. I'll just quote this in 1 Corinthians 16 and 15. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the house of Stephanas, or I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, you know, they could have addicted themselves to investing in this life, thinking about what they could have later and all these things, but they addicted themselves. What does addicted mean? That means you're really into it. It's got a hold on you. You know what? I like that. I feel addicted this morning. I love it too. I love the service of the Lord. Folks, we can love these things. And God wants to use our lives today. It's by choice. That's what it is. It's by choice that we do those things. And we choose that. We know we have a whole Bible full of people that made those kind of choices. Do you know, we have to lift up our eyes a little off of this world. Get them above the world a little bit. Get it up more toward what God's thinking. But do you know, when they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, they did a lot of good. There was a lot done that couldn't have been done otherwise. You know, we long to see new congregations. We long for that, don't we? We live in a world full of mixed up religion everywhere, and yet we know the Lord, and we love him. And only people that are given to God's will can fill those places. That's all. That's the only people that can. We want our congregation to thrive and prosper, and I believe our congregation is doing well. I believe the Lord is here. I'm not throwing any negative light on us, but do you know that as we give of ourselves, it comes back to bless what we love? We sit down on Wednesday nights, and how often we go away just amazed at the blessing that the Lord has given. How often? Many times, don't we? Oh, we appreciate that from the Lord. You know what? That comes from hearts that are wanting to serve God with all their heart. How we appreciate that this morning. And I just want to encourage us to choose that good part in our life consciously, on purpose, at the expense of other things. Choose that good part that won't be taken away. Choose that life that will mean something eternally to other people. You mean I could be making $40 an hour or $100 an hour or whatever it is, and I'm choosing to go over here and tutor or whatever? You know what? Folks need help, and that's the way they get it. Somebody that chooses to do that. What's our choice today in life? Somebody has to choose to sit at the feet of Jesus to hear what he has to say. So when he speaks, we know what he's saying. Otherwise, we're too far away. There's so much garbage in the world, so much noise, so many desires, all those things. And yet the Lord is wanting to speak. And he's wanting you and me to hear him. What do you have to say, Lord? What do you have to say in my life? I don't want to live my life chasing down things that are going to leave when I leave. I'll leave them and that'll be the end of it. And then's eternity. And I invested everything in this life. There's something better than that this morning. I hope we see it. I hope we fall in love with it. I hope we become addicted to it this morning. The Lord bless each one of us today. Amen.